Okay, remember that, brother. Anybody else?
My neighbor Mitch.
All right. All right. Brother Jimmy, would you pray for the blessing for the service tonight? Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jimmy. We're going to sing one more here tonight. Then we're going to let Miss Amy come and share a song with us tonight. What page are we? 345. Got it right here. 345. We're going to do two verses of Where Could I Go But To the Lord Tonight. First and third verse. Good old song.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's soul, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, and needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilly hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? A refuge for my soul, and needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
That is wonderful. Come on up, Miss Amy.
sang it in a while, and I was going to see how far back I could stand and maybe see it without my glasses, but I can't. So, but I can't see out. I can't see you all very well. I feel like I got a dad problem here when he was having his eye problems. But I'm old, so I can't read, but I'm still plenty young enough to see you from where I'm at and where you are.
Praise
you. But I'll have to put my glasses on. Okay. The room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard, and she poured her love for the Master from her box of alabaster. "I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box." I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I'd found. Oh, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his love. Oh, now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. On him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my the call. of the oil. You don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster.
No. Nobody can know but you what he did for you. I know what he did for me. And I am so thankful. Just makes you want to waller in it, don't it? As some of you have been asking for Gene to preach again, and Jimmy and Betty drove miles to come and be here tonight for Jim, for Gene. You ready to preach, brother?
I was just sitting there thinking back in 1977, I was called to Conley Springs up above Newland, way out in the country, to hold a revival. And I said, "Now, how are we going?" He said, "We're going to go Sunday night through Saturday night." And I said, "Okay, I'll be there." On Tuesday night, this preacher had invited a bunch of churches, and it's a community church where, you know, the church, other denominations would come in. And so I was sitting up here, you know, ready to preach, and people just kept coming in, and they start carrying out chairs. And they carried chairs out up to the pulpit and made circles out of the choir chairs. I had about an 8-foot circle to stand in. And I thought of it when I was sitting there a while ago. You know, we don't see those days anymore. But I remember that night, you know, back in my early ministry, I could, you know, jump and shout and holler, but now if I do that, something might fly out of place, and I've done it a few times at my age. But that night, I had to ask God to keep me calm, because I was afraid if I got happy, there's some little kids sitting around here, I'd have stomped one of them, you know, and I never will forget that. And I preached and stayed just as calm, you know. I gave the invitation, and there wasn't no altar. And so I had to ask people to raise their hand, and I would meet them out in the parking lot. Well, guess what? They were 15 people showed up in the parking lot to be prayed for. Now, them days are gone. Look at your pews. know, the days of revivals were different denominations would come in and just have a good old Holy Ghost revival.
Amen.
You know, but we don't support each other like we should. You know, denominations don't. We're scared that somebody might grab one of ours. My philosophy has always been in the ministry. If you can take some of my members, go ahead. Maybe they'll do you more good than they're doing me. So bless God, have at it. Now, I've been in church for the last 18 days. 18 out of 21 days. I've been in church. Some days, twice. We've had 18 funerals, 21 funerals a month of August. And 18 of them have been in just day today. I was in one today. And the good thing about the funerals, some of them I have to preach because people don't have a preacher. And the others, where they have a preacher, they have nominated me to dismiss the service at the graveside. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not one to get up and say you're dismissed by. I take about 3 to 4 minutes and I get a preach.
Amen.
And I tell them about heaven. And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Heaven. When I got saved, I was 12 years old, 1957, Trinity Free Will Baptist Church. There was a 2-week meeting there, and 107 got saved. I was one of them. I sung about heaven. I've thought about heaven. I've read about heaven. Since I've got saved, there's a part of me that wants to move out of here.
Amen.
I can't explain that. You see, every individual born into this world, first of all, your human soul always longs for such a place. That's why when you're lost, you're never satisfied. That's why you search everything you can to satisfy the longing your soul has to be in another place. Now, souls don't long to be in hell. I mean, people that say, I'll see you in hell. Let me tell you something. People make comments like that, they don't know what they're talking about. Because the human soul is made for a place other than this world. You understand that? See, the soul, the body's made for this world. The soul's not made for this world. The soul's made for another place. So, saved or lost, the longing of that soul to be in another place is not satisfied until you get right with God.
That's right.
Yep. And then you look for that place. You long for that place. And then the human soul always felt that there was such a place. You know? How do I know there's a heaven? I remember reading about a man one time that was flying a kite and it got so high up in the clouds. And a little boy came by and he said, I don't see your kite. What makes you think it's still up there? And he said, I feel the tug on the string. When I got saved, I started to feel the tug.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I know it's there because of the tug of my soul that longs to be there. And then the human soul needs such a place. I'm not happy here. Oh, I'm happy in the Lord. But I'm not happy in this world. I don't like the way the world's running. I don't like the direction it's going. I don't like the system. I feel for people that are younger than me. Because they've got to put up with it a little longer if Jesus tarries. And I got news for you. You better be looking up. There's a shortage of preachers in every denomination. You understand that? The Free Will Baptists don't have enough to fill their pulpits. I heard just recently that they've got 240 Free Will Baptist churches that do not have a pastor. The Baptist churches are locking doors. The Methodist church has split over the gay issue, and now they've only got 6 and 8 in churches, and now they're saying that church has to buy the church. They can't afford to, so what are they going to do? Lock the doors. You see, the human soul longs for a place like heaven. A place of peace. There's no peace in this world.
No.
A place of joy. There's no joy in this world. Oh, there's joy in your heart, but there's no joy in the world.
No.
Where you live, where you have your being and surrounding. Now, let me share a few things with you, and you won't remember these things. I'm going to read them because I can't remember them. But there's a traffic controller out there somewhere. Paul said he was in the third heaven. Now, don't get me wrong on what I'm about to say. I don't read a lot of books about people that said they died and went to heaven. I don't disagree with them. You know, if that's what they felt like they'd done. But I've always wondered why Paul, whom I believe went to heaven, the third heaven, but he was not allowed to say anything about it. He couldn't write about it. He said, it's unlawful for me to even talk about it. And he said, to keep me from talking about it, I developed a thorn in the flesh, which God decided he would not remove. And in that story, it says that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
So I don't know what happened to Paul, but something happened to him so that he couldn't get the big head. God kept it from happening to him, and so he gave him a thorn in the flesh. But he was not allowed to write anything down about what he saw in heaven. But here you read all these books and everything about, and you watch movies about people died and went to heaven, and they are able to tell it. That's between them. Whether I believe it or not is not the important issue. All I know about heaven is that I've read from the Bible.
Amen.
Because I want to read after somebody that's been there. The Bible says Jesus came from the Father and he went back to the Father. And if the Word of God is all about him, then there's some things in here about where he lives.
Amen.
And guess what? He said I could live there too. In John chapter 14, when the disciples were disheartened about him leaving and everything, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Yes.
And I go to prepare that place for you. Now, it's been prepared since then.
Yes.
As I said, I've done 18 funerals the last few days. When people die, and, you know, as far as we know, they all died and knew the Lord because they were some up in years. And then, you know, I didn't know any of them. But I got to thinking, if 220,000 die and a fourth of those went to heaven. Now, that's 220,000 every 24 hours. And a fourth of them went to heaven. Now, I base a fourth on the seed. He threw the seed out. Four different grounds, and only one type of ground took it. All right? So, I think every morning, I guess God operates on a 24-hour schedule until we get there. And then it develops into a different schedule. But I was standing about at a cemetery this week, and I thought, do you have to call the roll every day? That's what it said. I mean, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I remember when I was in school, the teacher would say, Gene Deaton, I'd say present. Right? I mean, if there was no answer, I was present. And so I wonder if the recording angel calls the roll every morning. And they say, present. Well, ain't that good? I'm present.
Yes.
I'm here. Praise God, I made it. And then, you see, justice demands that such a place exist.
Yes.
There's a lot of wrong in this world. And people who get right with God and try to do what's good and what's right, there has to be a place where those people can go leave. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Now notice, he wasn't talking to the world then. He was only talking to his disciples. They are the ones out of heart. They are the ones that discouraged. And so he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you guys. And the ladies were there too, probably. And he said, also for the ladies, there's a place prepared for you. It's called heaven. Now let me show you some things here. The earth spins at 19 miles a second. It travels at 68,000 miles an hour around the sun. Aren't you glad for gravity? I mean, you're spinning this way, and then you're going 68,000 miles an hour around the sun. That's awesome. Can you imagine how hard it... The traffic controller, he has to keep the meteorites from hitting you and all this stuff from bumping, you know, and it's not happened yet. Well, you go to the fifth planet, which is Jupiter. Jupiter takes 12 years to spin around the sun. It's spinning 1,250 times faster than the earth. It's traveling at 30,000 miles an hour, and it's going around the sun that fast. Now here, we're traveling 68,000. See? Jupiter's traveling 30,000. And then if you go to Neptune, Neptune is a little farther than Jupiter. It's the eighth planet. If you traveled 100 miles an hour, it'd take you 3,000 years to get there. So next time you have your car up to 100 miles an hour, keep it there. Travel 3,000 years and you'll get there. It takes it 155 years to go around the sun. How long does it take us to go around the sun?
Yeah, 1 year.
1 year. 365 days. And then it's 2,780,000,000 miles from Earth. Now I'm told if you account 100 a minute, in 19 years you can count to a billion. Anybody interested in trying it? Well, when you go beyond there, then you go to the North Star. Now remember, we're talking about heaven. But we're in a second one right now. We haven't got to the third one yet. The North Star, if you traveled 100 miles an hour, it'd take you 409 million years to get to the North Star. So put your car on 100 mile an hour, travel 409 million years, and you'll reach the North Star. Now the light from the star Arcturus takes 200 years just to reach the earth. I'm talking about the light. Light travels 180,000 miles a second. And it takes the light from the star Arcturus, which is beyond the North Star, takes it 200 years just to reach Earth. So if you feel the light from this star, it took it 200 years to get to you. You see, that blows my mind. Aren't you glad that he's out there just... And why he's doing all this? You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and grab your chest and you cry out to him and he runs down there.
Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Amen. Well, who's running the universe?
Yes.
I guess he puts it on automatic power.
Oh, yes.
You say, where do you get this from? Well, look at the book of Acts, chapter 8. Don't turn there. But Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, the Bible says that Jesus stood up, looked out over the throne, probably told the angels when they hit him the last time, bring him home. He put it on automatic pilot. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Heaven's a big place.
Yeah.
But you see, that's not the heaven that you and I are going to. We're not going to the second heaven. We're going to travel through. Now, what amazes me is how Paul called up into the third heaven. And it takes the, and he had to go beyond Arcturus, the last star, I would assume. And he got there like that. Spirit. He was called up in the spirit. And he said, now, I don't even know whether I had a body or not. What he said? He said, I really don't, whether I was in the flesh. He said, I really don't know. I just know I was there.
Yeah.
And what I saw. It sounded like that blind man that got healed, you know, and everybody was asking, what happened to you? He said, I don't know. He said, I went down in that town blind and I come back up here seeing. If you want to know what happened, go down and see that man I just saw.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's wanting to learn the Romans road to salvation. Yeah. Wanting to learn all the Bible verses of you. Paul went into a king one time and he didn't use one Bible verse. He said, well, I was on the road to Damascus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And there was this light appeared. And I was struck blind for 3 days. In other words, he was telling him his experience of meeting the Lord. Yes. And guess what Agrippa said? You almost persuaded me to be a Christian.
Oh, yes.
Your life will do more persuasion than your words will. You can know the Romans road, but people read your life. So the Bible says Jesus just went around being good. All you got to do is do good and be good, and it's that easy. Okay. It's not that heavy, easy, okay? Now let's get into the message. As your pastor would say. There's a lamb that's fairer than they. A 16-year-old boy was blind, and when he got to be 16-year-old, his mom took him to some new doctors that she heard about. And they did surgery and wrapped his eyes, you know. And so when it was time to take the bandages off, they took him over to the window on a clear day. And they took those bandages off, and he stood there for a minute, batting his eyes. And he stood there and he looked for a few seconds. And he turned to his mother and he said, you never told me it was this pretty.
Yes.
The hardest thing God had to do when he wrote the scriptures was describe to us where we're going. If he'd have done too much of it, we wouldn't be no earthly good. I mean, if he to really describe it, he's tried his best to describe it. Streets of gold, 1,500 mile long. I can't imagine that. Gates of beryl, 12 feet high. Walls of jasper. I don't know what that means. A crystal river that you could see yourself in. I don't understand that. But then he goes beyond that. I want to show you the negative aspects of heaven. First of all, there won't be no night there. Now, I enjoy the night. Except when I'm by myself. I heard a lot of people at funerals today. Mama, I'm going to come and stay with you for a few days. Grandma, I'm going to come and stay with you for a few days. Why did they tell them that? Because they were going into a dark hole all alone by themselves. You see, that's what the night speaks of. Loneliness. Loneliness. And so if there's no night there, there's going to be no loneliness there. And so then there will be no pain there.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know about you. I wake up every day in pain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen? Don't you?
I
mean, if something ain't hurting, it's going to hurt. The song that I'm reminded of is a song that Tennessee Ernie Ford, long time ago. Remember what it was? If the right one don't get you, the left one will. If my right leg ain't hurting, my left one's going to hurt. If my right arm don't hurt, my left arm's going to hurt. If my head's not hurting, my tummy's going to hurt. Something's going to be in pain every day. You know why? We buried a woman today, 96-year-old, and I got up to speak at the graveside, and I said, listen, there's no line waiting on her body parts. She wore them out. And I said, I'm doing the same thing to mine, and you're doing the same thing to yours. We're wearing out our house.
Amen.
We're wearing out the body.
Yeah.
Yes.
The pain won't be gone until the body's dead. I got news for you. So get used to it. Live with it.
Right.
Complain about it. And the more you complain, the longer God lets you live. Amen. I mean, we come to church and we say our request of prayer and it's all about the pain. Listen, you can die in pain and go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
But you can't die without Jesus.
Amen.
That's
right. Amen.
I think we all get our minds on people that's not right with God, not their pains.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
The pain won't leave when you get saved. I got news for you.
No.
Mine didn't. I still pain as much today as I did before I got saved. You say, well, you didn't pain much before you was 12. Oh, well, I fell out of a tree when I was 12 years old, broke my arm. That was hurting. That's a lot of pain. Had my tonsils out. That was painful. And since I've got saved, I've been in more pain. He didn't tell you he'd deliver you from the pain.
No.
He just said he'd be with you through it.
Yeah.
I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night hurting all over and go in the bathroom and just stand there and say, Lord, I would like to get some sleep tonight if it's all right with you. I don't go into this big, oh, holy, almighty, idiom, I need all your, no, I don't go into that. When I'm standing in the bathroom hurting, I talk to him just like I would my dad.
Right.
Give me something
that
ease right. the pain. And guess what? He always does.
That's right.
Now, he may not do it at that moment. It may be the next day. But the pain eventually leaves. But guess what? Something always comes back. But in heaven, there won't be no pain.
Amen.
Is that awesome? Amen. What are we going to talk about in heaven if there's no pain? That's all we talk about. Well, how you doing today? Oh, you wouldn't believe. I threw my back out last night. And I can't hardly walk. And my knees swollen. And my ankles aching. And what are we going to talk about in heaven? If there's going to be no pain.
Amen.
And then he says, when we get there, there'll be no sorrow there. No sorrow. I've watched sorrow for the last 18 days. I've watched grown men stand over their mom and weep. Sorry. I'm sorry, Mom. And you know, I've learned something. And this is going to hurt. I've learned the people that grieve the hardest are the ones that done the least while they're living. I've seen daughters who took care of their parents, done all they could for them, stand over them and not shed a tear. Then I've seen the ones that come in that they haven't seen in years. And they're the ones that are feeling the pain the most. It's called guilt. Guilt will tell on you. Guilt will tell on you. And then there will be no worries there. I'm not a big worrier. I worry about very little. I get concerned about things. But I heard an old preacher say one time, 85% of what you worry about never comes to pass. And he said the other 15%, you probably can't do anything about it. That stayed with me. I don't remember anything else that preacher said. But that stayed with me. There's no need to worry. You just worry yourself into a grave. I had a woman in church I pastored one time. She worried about everything. If she didn't have nothing to worry about, she'd call somebody till they give her something to worry about. Now, I'm telling you the truth. And I was in her home one day, and she was telling me, I said, Sister Green. She said, well, don't you worry. I said, no. I said, everything we've said here and talked about, you can't do anything about it except pray. Let God take care of it.
Amen.
Don't call God a liar. He said he'd take care of it. Let him do it. And then he says, there'll be no temptation, no sin.
Amen.
No sin
at
all. I'm going to love that. No temptation, no sin. The world, the flesh, and the devil will be gone. The world system is going to go away. God's going to have his own system. The flesh, I'm going to bury it one day and get rid of it. And the devil, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Well, those are the three that give me all my trouble. So guess what? Heaven's going to be trouble free. So, and then there'll be no sea there. Of course, the sea speaks of separation. Be no storms there. We stood out on the cemetery today and it was lightning and thunder rolling, and I could just tell the preacher was trying to hurry up, you know, and be as nice as he could. And I wanted him to be as nice as he could, because if lightning started hitting them tombstones, they might have been more burials than we wanted. And so he kind of got done real quick. But you know, there's going to be no storms in heaven. Won't be no meat off. My mama used to say, when it thundered, that the devil was beating his wife. I don't know about that. I don't know all the intricate details of thunder and lightning. I kind of think when it thunders, it's just God showing you how he could speak if he wanted to.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then there's no separation there. And funeral business is going to be out of business. Funeral directors are going to have to find another thing to do because there's going to be nobody dying there.
That's right.
Can you imagine going to a place where all these negative things that we deal with here are going to be no more?
They're going to be gone.
Heaven.
No more death. It's called heaven. You say, well, where are people at that die? Well, they're seated at the right hand of God if they're with Jesus.
Amen.
That's where he's at.
Amen.
And that's where I'm going to be.
Amen.
And you will be too. But let me show you some other things about it. Now, the positive aspects. It's a place of consciousness. The Bible says you're going to know as you're known. In other words, all these questions you have, they're going to be answered. Because you're going to be conscious of where you're at and what you're doing. You're going to have a body, a glorified body. Now, I don't know whether Moses and Elijah got their glorified body or not when they appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. I kind of think they had a temporary body. I think you and I are going to get temporary bodies. I don't think you're a spirit floating out there. Because if you're a spirit, how are you going to be present with Jesus? I'll explain it. I mean, you can't sit at home and say, well, my spirit was in church. Oh, we didn't see you. We didn't hear you. We didn't even notice you was here. But if you're present and your glasses are good, you can see everybody. And so, when you get to heaven, you're going to be present with the Lord. You're going to see everybody.
That's right.
And we'll know everybody. Yeah. You say, what age are we going to be? I don't know. I'd say Moses and Elijah didn't look no 1,500-year-old. Do you think they did? I don't know what age they looked, but I kind of think it wasn't 1,500 years old. But anyway, and it's a city. It's a beautiful city. It's a place of happiness.
Amen.
I remember when I was a boy, we'd get out at night and run around, and then we'd come home. We'd come in, and Daddy'd see us all around. There were five of us at home at this time. And he'd say, well, everybody's home. It's time to go to bed. Everybody's home. You know, Abraham said he was just a sojourner. He was looking for home. A city whose builder and maker was God.
Amen.
See, I'm not home yet. That's why I've got this uneasiness about me. You know, I'm just, you know, I've got a place where I live. And we call it home, but it's not. It's a temporary home because it's not eternal. It's the home where I lay my body down. And set my body down and rest it. But all that longing never leaves to be home.
Yes.
And then it's a place where Jesus is. You always save the best to last.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to try to sing this song. I probably won't do a good job because I'm already a horse, but you listen to it. A country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending days where night will never be, a city where no storms will ever gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. And then at last we see the face of Jesus.
Amen.
Before his image, other loves all flee. Oh, but when they crown him Lord, I know I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder?
Oh, yes.
And enjoy the throne around the crystal sea.
Hey, boy. Oh,
we'll meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever.
Hey, boy.
Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. And when they crown him Lord, I know I'll be there. You see, they haven't crowned him yet. He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. And he's waiting until he gets all of his children home. And then we're going to all gather together. And we're going to have the marriage of the Lamb.
Amen.
And after the marriage, we're going to cast our crowns at his feet.
Yes.
And then after we do that, we're going to crown you Lord of all. Isn't that awesome? That's what heaven's about. How do you go, preacher? I think everybody in here is ready. If you're not, there's just one way. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Now, where do we say the Father is? In heaven, on its throne. Jesus is at his right side. And so, if God's in heaven, then the only way to get there is through Jesus. You know, when I got saved, I don't know exactly what happened. They say 44 different things happen the moment you get saved. I don't know how many of them happened that I remember when they did happen, but you know what? When I got saved, I wanted to know all I could about Jesus. And then I wanted to know all I could about heaven. And so I've studied this book about heaven and about Jesus. Because you see, if I want to live forever with you, I want to know a lot about him. I'm looking forward to the day to go to heaven.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you work so many funerals? Don't that bother you? It's a ministry. I'm ministering to people. I get to tell people who never hear the gospel, Jesus saves.
Amen.
Amen.
And maybe one of them will go to heaven. And maybe one of these days, one of them will run up to me in heaven and say, remember what you said at that graveside? I accepted Jesus because of what you said.
Yes.
You remember those good deeds you did for your neighbor that you may never know about when you get to heaven? See, you give him all the glory here, and he might let you take a little, few little good comments in heaven. I don't know that he will. It's not taking anything away from him. It's just somebody saying, you know, if you hadn't said what you said, if you hadn't done what you did, well, the book of Matthew says, if you give a cup of water in my name,
yes,
you as much as give it to me.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Any good you do for people is what Jesus would have done for.
Yes.
That's right.
God bless you. Father, we thank you tonight for the scattered thoughts. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for the hope of going to heaven. But we thank you that we can claim heaven as our home. Lord, we know it's all because of the blood that was shed at Calvary. We know it's because of what you did for us. You built us a mansion. You came and died on a cross. You saved our souls. Lord, you took care of that longing that you put there when we were born to be with you. Thank you for that. And Lord, for those, if there's anyone in this building tonight who does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray right now that they would confess their sins and accept you into their heart. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.